Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. We kick it off strong here, Monday Night Impact, live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, hosted by my good friend, a brother, a mentor, Claudio Rosano. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it, playing a little co-host, 347-205-9631. This show goes by quick. You can always catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place, and hand you the mic without slapping you, Claudio. First of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, man, yes, please, no slapping. I think we've seen enough of that. But good to be on the show again, and thank you for all the listeners. I appreciate it. But they can get a hold of me on ClaudioRosano.com, and there you can see one of my shows, Claudio Rosano Show, where I interview sports legends and friends and have a great bunch of topics. And also you can click on the Monday Night Impact link, which will take you to Mancini Media, and you can listen to this show, which is a show that I absolutely love doing, Mark. It's a show that I've always wanted to hear on the radio or on podcasts, and here we are doing it. So thank you for that. And then you can watch the Boxing Authorities with Luther Dupree Jr. and Smokin' Jim Frazier, entertaining and informative, the best boxing show out there. You can watch us on live.vivetv.network. Again, great show. And then on the my brand new YouTube channel, Claudio Rosano TV. There I talk about sports, business, and give you some updates on some shows that I'm doing, just a variety of things. So I think you'll enjoy that channel as well. So that's about it, Mark.
Yep, and just to let you take some notes for all the listeners out there, next Monday we won't be on. We'll be back on next Wednesday, the special Monday Night Impact. That'll be April 6th, 6:50 Pittsburgh time. We'll kind of come in there and go over a few things. Going live at 7 and 4 o'clock in the West Coast. So take note, no show next Monday. It'll be Wednesday, April 6th. And in that particular show, basically, will be episode 12. We'll talk about spinoff of business. We'll give you a little teaser as we wind this show down today. But this is episode 11, dealing with rejection. And, boy, I'll tell you, this is a hot topic, Claudio, and I'll let you roll with this, and I feel the questions from the listeners.
Well, that's something that we all, again, we all have a few things in common, and that's adversity. We all have to deal with adversity. We all have to deal with rejections, be it professionally, personally. Geez, you know, I talked to a young man a couple days ago that I do lessons with. And he's a great young man, but he didn't make his baseball team. And you know, obviously he was kind of down, but not as down as I think his parents were, which I certainly understand. But I told him, I said, look, for me personally, Mark, and to our great audience, I remember it was October 8th, 1990, which was my dad's birthday, and the two-year anniversary of my mom passing. Our team, the college team I was coaching at the time, Penn State Beaver, we were just an inning away, about maybe four outs away from winning the championship. So I remember I was on top of the steps. We were winning 13-0, right? And I remember looking to my left, and there was the football stadium, a space, and an agricultural building. I'll never forget. I had my foot on the top step, and I said to myself, man, here I am, my first year as a college head coach. We're going to win a championship. Unbelievable, right? And I said, pro teams are going to go crazy over me. They're going to go through the bust the door down to hire me. Well, pro teams didn't hire me I didn't get a pro job until 11 years later. And I had in between there about 147 rejection letters that I kept. And I've told this story on the show before, but it bears saying it again. You know, I would write a team and they would reject me, and I would write another team, they would reject me. I'd write their minor league team, they would reject me if they wrote me back at all. And the thing is, I knew that I was better than some of those people, especially as I got older. I knew I was better than some of the people that got hired, but I still didn't get the job. And it was deflating. And then you say to yourself, am I ever going to get there? Am I ever going to catch that carrot? And that's when you really have to say to yourself, yeah, I trust the process. I trust myself. I believe in myself. I'm going to keep at this. And I did. And whatever motivates you, you know, they say, again, your why. My why was I wanted to make my parents proud of me, fulfill their dreams, fulfill my dreams, obviously make a living. And I also wanted to, you know, shut down the people who didn't want me to succeed. So that's how I went about it. And but even, you know, for speaking engagements, you know, as you go through that business, not everybody is going to say yes to you, you know. Or even, for example, there's major stars out there that we've all heard of that have tried to get maybe a shoe endorsement or a cologne endorsement or whatever endorsement, and they were turned down, you know. So we don't hear about that. But, you know, for example, let's just say the actor McConaughey, he does the Lincoln commercial. Do you think he's the only guy who wanted to get that commercial? There were tons of actors and actresses and athletes who wanted to get that, I'm sure. But only one guy got it. So they were rejected. So what do? You dust yourself off and you move on to the next one. And you just keep trying.
Yeah, rightfully so. And, you know, now we're getting a load of people coming in here. We'll start from Danica from Goodyear, Arizona. Hey, guys, another great show. Rejection is tough. Some people just give up too soon. And we've talked about that before on some of these other shows in the past, Claudio. People, you know, just figure, you know, we've put so much into it. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the hobby becomes a chore. And they give up on it, and they don't want to keep chasing it. Or if somebody helped them out on something, they figure, you know what, I'm not going to help them out no more. I've been, you know, paying for this so long, and they shut it down. So the guy gives up on his dream and goes back to something that he really doesn't want to do, but in order to ends meet, he has to do it. So that's a tough one when you look at it that way. I think you're just going to have people believe in you. And if people believe in you, hey, it could be a school teacher. I know, you know, when I was going to college, it was, you know, a teacher in the broadcast, and that was a junior college I went to, Palomar. Mm-hmm. And he was basically a guy that believed in me, and he gave me every opportunity to succeed. He let me become the sports director there and everything. And I think that was something. When people believe in you and will do anything to help you get to that dream, I think that's the biggest key right there, because now you know somebody's believing you. Don't want to, you know, let them down. Any thought to that? Maybe throw 2 cents on something else.
First of all, you just said it at the end. You don't want to let that person down. For example, I wrote, and remember this quote, everyone, if you don't ask, it's already a no. Okay. And that may be a topic for another show. But I asked, there's a hotel in Erie, the Bayfront Sheraton, which my family and I absolutely love this hotel. We go there every year. So I sent them a note Friday asking if they would be interested in an in-house speaker, meaning whenever there's a convention in town or whenever there's an event and they need a speaker, well, you have one ready to go. You don't have to go looking for one. I'm the guy. So I figured I'd give it a shot. And, you know, when you put yourself out there, you're putting yourself out there for rejection. And the guy wrote, his name is Ryan Johnson, gave me a great letter. He said, not only will we, you know, put you in for that, but I will also forward your information to the Bayfront Convention Center. And, boy, that really meant a lot to me, that this guy who doesn't know me, but I sent him information on me, obviously, but he believed in me. And I told him in an email that I really appreciate that, and I will work even harder to make sure that I don't let him down, and I will not. I'll make him look good as well, and I really appreciate that. But, you know, then you mentioned, you know, there's an old line, Mark. You know, you only have to be right once. You can play the number every single day. One time you hit it for the big number, you hit, right? Or an idea. You know, Einstein, what'd he say? He tried 11,000 times, and he didn't fail. He just knew 11,000 ways that didn't work, right? But the guy who hired me for the Global Scouting Bureau, James Gamble, I wrote teams, I called teams, I emailed teams, I showed up. No. January of 2001, James Gamble gave me a call, and he gave me the job that I have now, the next year he gave me the general manager job. He gave me the break of a lifetime, and so many different things have spun off of that particular job. I've met all kinds of different people. I got all kinds of different opportunities. The Carnegie Mellon University baseball job that I have now is attached to the Global Scouting Bureau, right, to that tree. So James believed in me, and he gave me the opportunity. But let me also say this. And this is something that I thought of one time, and it's a great line. If nobody invites you to a party, start your own, okay? If nobody hires you to be a chef, then start your own restaurant. If nobody hires you to be an attorney, start your own practice. You know, if nobody I can go on and on with the examples, you know. And, yes, it may take more, but, you know, you have a little bit more control of your own fate. And so remember that line, if nobody invites you to a party, start your own. And don't just quit on that goal slash dream because, again, you are going to get rejected. And the toughest thing about rejection is, yes, it hurts you internally, obviously, and you start to question yourself. But then when somebody gets that position that you know that you're better than, and you start to question not only, you know, is this ever going to work for me, but you may question yourself. You said, geez, maybe I'm not that good. And let me add this. There was a job, 1996. It was a pro job. And I won't give the name, but I was a finalist. It was me and two other guys. So I go to the hotel the night before in terrible weather, and I'm excited about this job. I'm ready to go, and the interview and everything. And then I remember, ironically, they had a 10-minute piece on TV about this particular job. And they showed some of the front office people and why they were losing and just the whole thing. And I said, I don't think I want this job. You know, I don't think I want it. And I interviewed for it. And I said, damn, that was the best interview I ever gave. I'm going to get this job. Right? But I didn't get it, you know. But I'm glad, my point is, I'm glad I didn't get it. Sometimes there are jobs that we think we want and we didn't get, we were rejected, but then you look back on it and you say, man, thank God I didn't get it. You know, and even for example, with me with playing professional baseball, Mark, and to our great audience, that's all I wanted to do. Obviously that didn't happen. I had three tryouts, two of them I was hurt. One of them I was not hurt at all. I was in fantastic shape. I just totally bombed. But looking back on it, I mean, you can look at the millions and so on and so forth that you could have made or what have you, but I wouldn't have been happy. I would not have been happy. And like I said, I've turned down numerous pro jobs to be a coach because, as Jim Valvano used to say, don't mess with happy. And there is a former major league manager who still works in professional baseball, who's a friend of mine. He said, Claudio, you're very rich. And I said, why is that? He said, well, you know your wife, and more importantly, you know your daughter. He said, I didn't know my first two kids until they were in their 30s. And so I want my cake and eat it too. Yes, I was rejected by many pro teams. I'm not looking back on it is my point. I'm glad that I was rejected because things worked out the way they should, and I'm happy with the way things are.
Well said across the board, and, you know, you bring some interesting things to the forefront, and we're getting a lot of people, you know, commenting and everything. We got James from Augusta, Georgia, basically saying, you know, sometimes you put everything in one basket, and we don't realize that we seem to count on other people to get us through these difficult times. I learned a long time ago, James says, out of Georgia, that you got to rely on yourself. And that's the only person you can count on. Any talk, comment on that one? That's an interesting one out of Augusta with James.
Yeah, and exactly right. And there's a song by George Benson that Whitney Houston also made very popular, The Greatest Love of All. And without going into the whole song, but the whole idea of that song is the greatest love of all is within you. You know, you have to believe in yourself. You have to trust yourself. You have to go after things. It's all about, you know, you and putting it all out there. And it's hard. Like I say all the time, life is hard. Going after your goals and dreams is hard, you know. But like we have Derek from Clearwater when he said revenge is the best. Show the individuals they made a mistake on you. Fantastic, fantastic quote. I think it was Aaron Rodgers, who said pretty much, it's not exact quote, but pretty damn near, when he said, you know, that the other teams made a mistake by not drafting him. You know, and that was kind of his first line. I forgot, you got to look it up. I forgot the exact line, but they said, what do you have, you know, to say about the other teams? Say, hey, you made a big mistake. You know, Dan Marino, same way. Look at Tom Brady. Look at all the mistakes. Look what happened with those three guys, Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, and Tom Brady, three of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right? And arguably, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. And look how many teams passed on them. Fran Tarkenton said the same thing. I'm going to show you the mistake you guys made. And me looking at my career at the there was some high schools I was rejected at, okay? And here I am scouting professionally, where there was some pro teams I was rejected at. And, you know, thank God things have gone well, and thank me because of the hard work I put into it. But they say revenge is the best or living well is the best revenge. So, you know, he's exactly right. But I'll tell you another thing, too, about wanting something. And I don't mean this in a negative way. Please forgive me. But there was a girl one time who I, you know, cared for a ton. We were together for quite a while. And you know, she broke up with me and all that. And I remember seeing her years later, maybe about 30-some-odd years later. And she said, oh, Claudio, you know, she gave me a hug. She said, I'm so proud of you. I see on TV, radio, the whole nine yards, and I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. I know, you know, this is all you've wanted to do all your life with baseball and stuff like that. I said, thank you so much. Thank you. And I said, how are you doing? And, you know, she told me this is her, you know, third marriage, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not judging anybody. But as we walked away from each other, I said, thank God that we broke up, because I have a wonderful wife. I have a wonderful life. I have a wonderful daughter. My life would not have been the same with that girl. And, you know, she may say the same thing. She may say, boy, when I walked away, thank God I'm not with Claudio. You know, I'm not saying she wouldn't say that. I would hope not. But I'm thinking that, you know, who knows what the hell she said. But I know for me, I wanted that relationship to work, but thank God it didn't work. So, yes, I was rejected. But it was a good thing I was rejected, you know. And sometimes, you know, things work out. A lot of times things work out the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, couldn't have said it much better than that. And when you look at, you know, rejection for a lot of things, and I think what ends up happening, Claudia, we've touched on this with the listeners and everything that are coming through here, is I think, you know what, there's going to be a game plan here on this. And I think what ends up happening, whether it's starting a business, whether it's starting a new job or something, I think people's anticipations or, you know, goals on these things are not realistic to hit right off the bat. Instead of setting the goals lower so they can be more attainable, these guys kind of shoot for the moon to certain incidents. And we're getting a load of people coming in now, and I can't get to them all, but, you know, I see Mitch out of Dearborn, Michigan, and Barry out of Spokane, Washington, throwing in some comments. But the big thing is that's where part of the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, and the part of the problem is the goals aren't there, and people want things now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to work towards it. They want it now. You know, if I get up the bat, I need to hit a 3-run homer.
Right.
You know, I see two guys on base. Let me see if I can sacrifice them. No, I want to be the hero. I got to hit the 3-run homer, and then, you know, everybody loves me. But the little things to get to these goals are the key, and you don't see a lot of it today. And whether it's, you know, running late on a job or whatever, you see more and more people are in rushes. They don't plan, and the planning is a big key of anything to try to hit your goals to avoid the rejection, because if you set it too high, chances are you're going to disappoint yourself and disappoint what you said to others.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And again, we have to thank Danica for being on the show, listening to the show all the time, and she makes a great point about people quitting too soon. And I think that one of my strengths, and again, I'm not here patting myself on the back, I'm just telling you my experiences, sharing my experiences, is I was patient. I didn't want to be patient. Again, don't forget, this dream came to me when I was an 8-year-old kid, okay? And I had a lot of rejections, as we're talking about. And then I was 25, 26, 29, 30, 34. What the hell? You know, when am I going to quit this dream, right? But I kept on because I believed in myself, and I had to do this for numerous reasons, as I've stated before. But as far as, you know, I understand what you're saying about being realistic. To me, being realistic to me is saying, okay, I love the piano, okay? Well, for me to say I want to be a concert pianist and perform at Music City Hall or whatever, that's not me. I tried to take piano lessons when I was 27, and my instructor was getting frustrated. I said, look, I just want to play a few Barry Manilow songs and Lionel Richie songs and get the hell out of here. He kicked me out, right? So that wasn't me. But one time I was told by a family member to be realistic. I'll never forget that. I can tell you the room I'm in right now. I was looking out the window. It was in 1995. That's how specific I can be. She said, Claudio, be realistic. Your dreams of being in professional baseball aren't going to come true. Well, that motivated me that much more. And so being realistic is kind of a double-edged sword. If I say I want to be the, you know, super middleweight champion of the world, okay, maybe I'm not being realistic. But if I say I want to work in professional boxing, that's more realistic. I am working in boxing, right? But so I'll just say be smart when it comes to your dreams, okay? Now, I knew what I wanted to do. And I did shoot for the moon. That's me personally. I did shoot for the moon. Somebody could say, well, Claudio, you're not coaching in the major leagues. Well, again, I've had enough offers, especially years ago, that with my talent and the way I am, who knows right now? I'm not going to sit here and say to you that it wouldn't have happened. And you say, well, Claudio, how can you say that you wouldn't have wanted it to happen? I'm just saying. I was away in Florida last week, Mark, if you remember, and I couldn't wait to get home, okay? So maybe I was choosing the wrong thing. As I said, things worked out for the best. I like being home. Yes, I have to do some traveling with the scouting with the team and stuff like that, but not all the time, okay? And I wouldn't have enjoyed it. I may have made a hell of a lot of money, and more people would have known about me and all that kind of stuff, but I wouldn't have been happy. So, again, rejection can be good sometimes. It can be good. And when you look back on it, you say, man, I'm glad I didn't get that job, or I'm glad that relationship didn't work out. But as Danica said, sometimes, you know, people do quit too soon. And I told you, Jim Valvano wrote a book after the 1983 NCAA championship that his team NC State won. When Derek Wittenberg broke his ankle, which was his best player, he told his team, hey, it's too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit. And I've told my team that numerous times. It's too soon to quit. And, you know, so you don't. So you handle rejection. And real quick, I remember several years ago, and I'm sure you remember this, Mark, because you're a huge sports fan, the Detroit Pistons were playing the Indiana Pacers. And this is, like I said, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And there was a huge brawl, okay? And it spilled into the stands, right? And a bunch of players from the Pistons and a bunch of players from the Pacers were suspended for the season. And the Pacers, I believe, were one of the favorites to win the championship that year. I'll never forget, Larry Bird has a press conference. So they're waiting for this long, drawn-out press conference, and he's going to say this and that. He went to the podium, he cleared his throat, and he said, and I never forget this, he said, it happened, we'll deal with it, and we'll move forward. And that was it. And that was it. And a few years ago, we had a few things happen at CMU baseball, and it was a tough season for us. And I told the guys that very simply, it happened, we'll deal with it, and we'll move forward. You know, when my mom passed, which was devastating to me and my dad, absolutely devastating. And, you know, people were at the funeral home and they come to your house after the funeral, and everybody's there for you and everybody's, you know, giving you their condolences and giving you hugs and love and saying all kind of wonderful things to you to make you feel better. And I'll never forget, in front of our kitchen sink, my dad said, hey, Claude, everybody's been so great. He said, but when this is all over, it's just going to be you and me. And my dad and I stuck together. I get emotional thinking about it right now. We stuck together. We didn't pull apart. You know, we because my mom was so important to us. We loved her so much. She was such a wonderful person. But not only that, but she was the glue here. She was the glue. And now there had to be another glue, okay? And, like, I never cleaned before. I never washed a dish. I never washed clothes. I never wrote a check. I never did any of that. And I told my dad, you know what? I'll take over everything my mom did. And I'm not saying we miss my mom as a person because she was just such a wonderful person. But I'm talking about, you know, the business end of it, if you know what I'm trying to say. And so, we had two choices. Either you pack it in or you keep fighting. When you get rejected, you have two choices. If you say the hell with it and settle or quit or whatever it is, or you go at it. That's it. So I think it's best to go at it. And don't think it was easy for me to, with all these rejections, and I still have a ton of them. It's the same old thing. It's like the same person wrote it, right? And it was hard. It's hard on the ego, and people are making fun of you. But you're going to be a professional baseball player, right? Yeah, you're really going to do great in baseball. Well, you know, but I hung in there. If it was one thing, was it my talent that got wherever it is I got or accomplishments? Well, whatever. I think the most important thing is I outlasted everybody is what I did. Now, hopefully some talent played a role, obviously. I would hope. But I outlasted people because, as Danica said, some people quit too soon. That's one thing I did not do.
Yeah, and as we start to wrap this up, less than 4 minutes left in this great show, why don't we put the finishing touches and maybe share something in 30 seconds on dealing with rejection?
Well, again, to recap, sometimes rejection is good. The people who rejected us, the companies, the businesses, the people, relationships, we should thank them, you know, because – things will work out better. There's something around the corner that's better. As Chuck Knox, the old football coach, used to say, there's something eye-popping wonderful around the corner. And you really have to believe that. And real quick, I remember Kurt Warner. I said this before. After he got benched for the New York Giants, the reporter said, Kurt, looks like your career is over. He said, I can't wait to see what the Lord does with this. And look what happened. He did pretty good. And I know we're going to touch on next week's show, Spinoff Business. And what that is, or Greg Norman likes to call it, an adjacent space opportunity. I call it spin-off business, and I cannot wait to talk about that because it's very valuable. It's something that I've been fortunate enough to do, and I'd like to share those stories with our fantastic listeners.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one with the spin-off of the business, and, you know, that'll definitely be the work to looking at and be a part of it. That'll be on Wednesday, April 6th, 7 o'clock Pittsburgh time, 4 o'clock on the West Coast. And as we wind this one down, I guess the only thing I can say with 2 minutes left in this great thing is, how can people get a hold of you and let people know, what you're doing between now and next week?
Well, I'm fortunate enough, like I said, to be doing the shows again, obviously with you. Thank you, Mark. Monday Night Impact, The Boxing Authorities, which you can watch on live.vivetv.network, and then in my other shows on ClaudioRelsano.com, The Claudio Relsano Show. Don't forget about my book. You can get that on there as well. And then as far as this week, we got rained out, snowed out this week at Carnegie Mellon. So this coming week, Saturday and Sunday, we have a doubleheader Saturday, single Sunday. We have a great young team, a passionate team, a team that there's a team right there that doesn't care about obstacles. They don't even look at the obstacles. They go right through it or around it or underneath it. So hopefully next time when we talk, I can tell you that we had a 3-game sweep over the weekend. And I also have a very special interview with a brand-new show called the Italian Radio Hour here in Pittsburgh. That's at 6:20 a.m. Pittsburgh, but you'll be able to listen to it on my show. I'll make sure I put up a link for people to listen to it. So I'm very honored to be on that show, and then, like I said, always looking forward to doing our show, Mark. I love our audience. I appreciate the comments, and always love being with you as well.
Yeah, highest total of shows so far with the great listeners. They've been doing the domino effect, telling their friends and family members about it, and we're so blessed.
Please
to keep
do.
Picking it up. And as we wind this thing down, for Claudio Rosano, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying stay tuned at the top of the hour out of Philly, Matthew DiBiase. But meantime, if you want to catch this archive version, check out blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to. powered now by Mancini Media. So all I can say is next week, make it down. Not Monday, it'll be Wednesday, April 6th, 7 o'clock Pittsburgh time, 4 o'clock on the West Coast. Till then, have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.